Today's daf is daf Lamed Vav. We're holding, however, at the bottom of Lamed Hei Amid Beis, and we got up to Gufa, which is the two dots, 6 lines from the bottom. Gufa Amar Rabbi Yonah Shmuel, Vachin Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shemen Zayit Mevarchin Alav Borei Pri Ha'et. So until now, basically, we've been discussing the difference between the Shemen Zayit that seems to be Nishtani L'mal Yurta in the same way that Yayin is Nishtani L'mal Yurta. And yet the Mishnah opens with telling us that the Bracha on Borei Pri Ha'et is common to every type of Pri but Yayin. So we meanwhile mentioned that it's strange that on Shemen the Bracha is Borei Pri Ha'et. So okay, we spoke about the difference between Shemen and Yayin, the difference between Soyit, between Mazin, between Zan, and between Eno Afilu Zan. But meanwhile, we'd like to know what exactly would the circumstances be in which Rabbi Yonah Shmuel would be correct that you make a Borei Pri Ha'et on Shemen Zayit. I mean, if it's talking about what, you take a cup of oil, you drink a cup of oil, you can't make a bracha at all on that. Because uzuki maske, the things that are essentially not the mode of eating and are simply damaging to you, it's no good for your stomach and no good for your blood and no good for anything to drink a cup of oil plain. Normally, when you take truma that is meant for achila and you eat it, so we have a special halakha in which besides paying back the damage that you did and taking something which is the stealing element of the truma, for achilat truma, there's also a tashlume knas of a chomesh. But if there's no achila, then it's just the regular damages. Over here, clearly, we're viewing the drinking of oil of truma as not being a normal consumption. What is the normal consumption of shemen? Hasak shemen shel truma. So if you're sak shemen shel truma, you rub oil on your skin, then you would be mishalim the chomesh as well, because that's the normal mode of consumption. So clearly, we should not make a brocha on something that is eno derech achila. I assume what you're talking about then would be, I imagine, a case where you dip your bread into some type of oil, and, obviously, there's other flavors in it, but into some kind of flavored oil dip. Okay, that's reasonable, except for one problem. You wouldn't say borei pri ha'et in that case at all, because your hamotzi on the pot would certainly pot to you for making a separate bracha on the oil, because you have havilei pot ikar v'hu tafel. V'tzlan zeh kol kosher hu ikar v'imot tefela. Mivarech ala ikar poter tefela. So the general rule is, wherever you have two things that you're eating, one has bracha A and one has bracha B, then the ikar subsumes the bracha and the thing which is simply there to flavor it and so on. So then you shouldn't make a bracha borei pri ha'et either. So what, for heaven's sakes, would be the case? Ella, perhaps you'll tell me the case is, they had their own version of Gatorade, which was really a power drink, which is sort of borscht mixed with oil and so on and so forth. That's really, really a different kind of drink. But basically it was boiled or very stewed beets or other things. And they would mix it with oil as well and various flavorings and peppers. And, you drink this, and believe me, you got it for the day. You think it's Popeye and spinach or something. So you mean that you mix your oil with anigrion? The Omer Rabbah Bar Shmuel anigrion, specifically energy drinks. Is that very good? Our Maya de Silka, that's borscht. And on Sigron, another type of energy drink is Maya de Kula Shalki. For that, we use other types of boiled vegetables. But in any event, you run into exactly the same problem there that you would with the pot. Because once again, the anigron is the ikar. Over there, the borscht would be the main drink, and the oil would just be tafel to the borscht, and therefore you shouldn't make a bracha on the oil, because as we said by the pot. What we'll have to say is, it's talking about somebody who's got a sore throat, and therefore he makes a drink which is mostly, actually we'll have to see whether we're talking about that guy, a drink, or whether we're talking about even if you drink it raw. We'll talk about Rashi Tosis in a moment. But we're talking about a special case where there at least is sufficient shemen over here to make it the ikar. The Tanya HaChoshesh Bigrono, someone who has a sore throat on Shabbat, lo yar eno ba shemen, he should not gargle with oil tefillah the Shabbat, but, in other words, openly tefillah in the sense over here, to make that the purpose of what he's doing, in that sense of lechat tefillah, not in the difference of bidiyavad and so on. And what he could do, however, the reason he can't do this is because it's one of the gezerot that the Rabbanan made on Shabbat, is not to take medications, and anything which is nikar, that it's a mixture that's done l'refuah, particularly is also on Shabbat. If, however, it's not nikar, then it would be something that people would do as part of a normal drink as well, so then it's okay. So what he can do, therefore, is to make himself an anigron, just add an awful lot of shemen to it, more than he would usually do, and then you could swallow your anigron ubolea. And that way you've got your shemen. Now, in that case, certainly can't say that the shemen would be batel to the negro, because you need to put in a lot of it, and you want specifically the shemen on your sore throat. So then you'll say, well, isn't that obvious, pshita? And the truth is, no. It really isn't obvious, because ma'ar detemek even the refuah kamecha v'no libra chalei kalal. I mean, what I could think is that since the bottom line of my mixture is really, I'm just trying to cover up the refuah. I mean, what I really want is refuah. I mean, if I could have gargled just with oil, I would have done that too. So I'm drinking over here in order to get the oil on my poor aching throat. What's to say that there's a bracha on such a thing at all? It would be like drinking water to take a pill where you're not thirsty. So Gomash Balan came unto Idle Hana'amine. Therefore, it comes to tell me that Lamaisa, besides the refuah, there's an element of Hana'at Achila in this case, and therefore on that I have to be Mavarech. So therefore, Bori Beruche, and that would be the finish. What bracha do I make? I make a Bori Priyais, there's no specific bracha on the Shemin itself. Kimcha Dechit. How about on flour? Flour made out of wheat. There's Big Machlokas Rishonim over here. Tosfos says it can't possibly be referring to what we call regular white wheat flour, and that there would be a, even a tzad say that you should be mevarech bori pri adam on wheat flour. I mean, it has no resemblance to wheat. It doesn't taste like wheat. It's, I mean, why in the world would I think that eating flour is similar to chewing on a piece of wheat? It's got to be referring to whole wheat flour, where over there there's actually chunks, you know, there's chunks in it and it tastes like wheat. Or maybe it's talking about some type of parched grain flour over there. Again, the grain taste remains in it, and it's grainy, so it's at least, it's coarse and it's nicker, at least, that it come where it comes from. I mean, otherwise, it might as well be paste. I mean, you don't know, even know what you're eating. So, but others learn that the kemach of the chitim is itself a form of chitim, since it's grown for kemach. And therefore, even though the mice of the chitim itself is a nicker in it, it's not similar to something that you took away from its normal shape and put it into something where you don't even know what it is. Over here, this is the normal surah of wheat. So the Yuna says, you say, Barei Kriya Adamah, Reb Nachman says, you say, Shakol Nihyeh Bidvaro, because lemaisa, you have taken away the actual form of what's grown, which is the first form of which it would be eaten, as just koseh shechita, and you haven't yet made it into bread. And this is sort of a midway stage and doesn't deserve a special bracha, because it wasn't nishtani lemal yusa. If it was nishtani, it was nishtani legriyusa. I mean, there's elements of which it's lemal yusa in the sense of its ultimate use is now better served, because in the end you can make bread out of it. But you don't have the value of the actual chita here, and you don't have the final stage of the mal yuta, and therefore all you say is a shakol nihyeh bidvaro, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, but it's still chita, and therefore you still say a borei pri adama. Omelei Revel Rav Nachman, don't argue on Rabbi Yehuda and claim that it's shakol, because let me tell you, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel both paskind like Rabbi Yehuda. You say borei pri adama. How do I know? Do you know Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel? So, I mean, don't you see from there that even though something is no longer in its original and natural state, you see that something that has changed is no longer how it grew, is still considered to be unchanged in terms of the bracha? So here to the kemach, even though it's no longer the wheat, but it still retains its identity for the bracha. Oh, come on. Me dummy, what's there? I understand. There's no comparison. Hatam letli luyachrina. Over there, you changed the olives into oil, and that is the ultimate use of the olive. I mean, basically, it was planted for that type of usage. There's no further ma'al yuta that you can do to it, and therefore, of course, it's going to retain the brocha. That's what it was planted for in the first place. Whereas hatayitle luyachrina, namely the pot, you can compare that to a case where you're in a middle stage of process. You made kemah. The kemah is not yet ishtani l'mal yuta, other than it's closer in terms of the stage, but certainly not in terms of what it is right now. The din would be, if there's some additional advantage that we're going to have now another part of the process, we will not say borei pri adama yet. So that's what you're asserting, says the Gemara. What? V'hitle ilu yachrin lama v'orkin ala borei pri adama ela shahako? Didn't Rav Zeir Om Rav Masda quote Shmuel as saying that if you have karachaya and kimcha desar, you're going to be eating raw pumpkin or kemach of se'orim. A kemach of se'orim is really a low-class kind of thing. The se'orim does not have the same ma'ila of chitim, so I assume that because it says se'orim, particularly not chita, that it's going to have less of a chashivut. And perhaps that's why Shmuel said over there, mevorchin alayo shakol nihyeh bedvaro. Now, in isolating se'orim as opposed to chita, the implication is that if we had been speaking about chitim, then indeed Shmuel would have said, you say borei pri adama, even on kemach of chitim. You're trying to tell me that everybody agrees that in a case where it's not nishtani to its final mal yuta, you don't make make the bracha, the original bracha on it, and we view it now as being in an interim degenerate, so to speak, phase in terms of bracha, in which it's not what it was, so it doesn't deserve ha'adamah, not what it will be, and clearly doesn't deserve mizonos. And so right now we make a shahako. But here it says that that's only true on se'orim, but not on chitim. No. It doesn't say that now, does it? That's your reading of the implication, but that's not the correct implication. The truth is that chitim would also have been shakol mi'evidvaro. Now, I know you're going to ask me, so then leshminim chitim, then why not say it to me in the first place, that even kemach of chitim is shakol, and I'm bright enough to understand that if that's the case, koshikin sa'ari, which is a lesser darga of grain, it's going to not deserve a bori priya adama if it's in its brochot-wise degenerate phase. No, because you see, I could have thought that if you had mentioned chitim, then maybe sorim doesn't deserve a bracha at all. So I need to know it deserves a bracha. Because I would have made the opposite implication. I would have said chitim, which are chashuv, or chashuv enough to at least make a birchat shahakol, abul disa'ari. If you have now kemak of sorim, it doesn't deserve any bracha until now you take the next step and you make your oatmeal cookies. So lo librek alei aklal, but until then don't say any bracha. Kamash malam, if you have to say a shahako. Oh, now wait a minute. Who would have thought you? Don't make a bracha. What are you telling me? It's worse than salt water? Don't make a bracha. I mean, migara, mimelach, v'zamit. Muslim zamit is simply dissolved salt. It's a thick mixture, a very heavy salt solution. That's used for, like a brine solution that you use for dipping. I mean, lamaisa, there's an oruk that says that it means marak. No, it's something which is a liquid that doesn't have any mitzias of the thing that was dissolved in it. Others learn, he brings also the tour brings that it's foam. So, but certainly most learn that it's referring to brine dip. Titznan. And over there it says, Al HaMelech V'Al HaZamit. Even stick your finger in your mouth with salt, you would still say Shehakol. So you would have thought that Sorim doesn't even deserve a Shehakol. Why would you have thought such a thing? I would have. I'll tell you why. It's one thing to say Melech V'Zamit, because okay, I mean, you don't normally eat that raw, but still of the Danish, the Shari Lepume. You see a little bit of salt on the table, you dip your finger in it, stick it on your tongue, you know. It's not something that isn't done. But when it comes to kemak of sa'orim, there are people who avoid kemak of sa'orim because you can often get intestinal worms from it if it hasn't been just ground and it hasn't been baked. So therefore, maybe it's v'chalal not considered to be a foodstuff here. So since it's kosher l'kukiyani, lo libra kaleha plah, kamash melan. Look, I mean, l'maisek, even itayhana, I mean, you can't call it bi'ikar, something that's mazik, and the fact that something may have something associated with it that is you wouldn't want to eat it. Doesn't mean that when you ate it, you don't have hana'at achila from it, and therefore you need to make a bracha shahakol. That's good for what it's coming to tell me. But it's not meant to imply that only sa'orim is shahakol, a chitim would be better. And the chitim are also, when they're only kemach, a shahakol. Korah. Now, korah really has two implications. We have the korah is the, when you buy the lulav, you have the, we call it korah, the brownish growth around that you scrape off usually. And it goes all along the new leaves. The leaves are protected by, you know, but it's like that embryo is protected by its coating. So a leaf has a coating, which is that brown, it's not really a sheath, it's weaker than a sheath, but you know what we're talking about, it gets all over you. It's like a fibrous coating that falls off into little pieces. That's what we call korah. But korah is also used. Yeah, I mean, it's called korah, people call it korah, the correct word is korah technically. But what we call korah is that. Here the Gemara is referring to the fresh leaves that are edible as leaves, the palm leaves. That are very fresh. And they're also eaten. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's a bori priya adama, because it's basically like a vegetable, so to speak. And I'm eating the tree itself. It's not the fruit of a tree. So it's a bori priya adama level. Shmuel omer, shakol nihye bidvaro. Shmuel says, look, that's not an actual product. I mean, it's going to be a leaf. It's going to be hard. You view that as a fruit. It's not a fruit of the earth. It's something that you're eating. So it's like eating a mushroom. So Rabbi Yehuda omer bori priya adama. He says, look, I mean, the bottom line is it's something that's eaten. It's a product of the ground, and therefore it's a pira. So since in the end this thing is going to just turn into part of the tree, you can't call it a pre. People don't give it a tree. A pre, it's edible, but it's not a pre. It's just like a thing, you know. So it's a shako, like an egg. It's something that I can eat right now. Say Shmuel to review truth is, I have to admit, Shinana, listen, Sharpie, Kavatcha Mistaran, truth is that your logic is more compelling. Certainly, nobody would say that radish should be a shahako. Even though Lamaisa, you leave radish around in the ground longer, it just gets to be so much of a root that it's hard like wood. You can't eat it. So it's known Isovel Hakshod. Nonetheless, we certainly consider it to be a type of Pri Ha'adama, and we're Mevorkan Alav Ori Pri Ha'adama. So this Korah should be no different, I suppose. Velohi. However, Shmuel should not give in so easily to Rav Yudah, because there's another factor that he's ignoring here, namely, that Snon is not the Inshadaita to Pugla. When people plant snom, they are planting it in order to eat the radish. They're not planting it in order to build a house out of radish roots. And so, Mamela, that itself defines the nature of the way we relate to what we've planted. But when it comes to the Korah, Kol Ha'echa, I mean, over there, what are you going to say? That people plant palm trees in order to eat the Korah? I mean, on the contrary, they expect the palm to grow and to produce fruit for them. They're not going to take off. The last thing somebody wants to do is to cut off the Korah from it, meaning the new growth leaves. You know, that's why they're very marked about the lulavim. I mean, you have to be very careful selecting the lulavim. So there are people who certainly do not plant the tree. Lo natinche adaita the Korah. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. So now you're claiming that this is the more fundamental distinction. What people intend at the time that they're planting this thing, and that's going to make us determine what the bracha is. And as you're saying, that kol ha'ikah, lo natinche adaita the ha'achi, lo mevarkin alei, that if people didn't plant it for that purpose, then we don't give it a bracha that relates to the planting, but rather to the general concept of food. Shako niyabitvaro, is that what you're claiming? What about slot? Well, how about caper? We're over there, natinche adaita yipircha. The reason that people would plant caper would be specifically for the flower, and yet it says in the Mishnah, Amine Nitzvah, and Nitzvah is the tzlaf is a very strange kind of bush, because it's almost unrecognizable, the different products from the tzlaf, and each one is actually a different stage, really, of the development of the tzlaf, and it's like totally different products. I mean, obviously today the most popular product of the tzlaf that you can buy in your makola is caper berries, people like for salads and so on. They dry, or they pickle the caper berries.
A lovely garnish. A lovely garnish.
It is a lovely garnish with a wonderful taste and so on. You can buy it in the market. Caper. The thing is that it does produce a fruit, the aviona, and it does produce the flower, and it also has these little berry-like protrusions on the wood itself, which people eat. So we call it mine tzlaf. It's the various types of things that grow on the tzlaf, or mine nitzvah. So it depends what we're talking about. Ala ha'alin, and if you, by the way, there's some general question about mostly the tzlaf that you see around here is, you see it all over growing. Yeah, there's a lot of wild slop. It grows between the stones on the wall. The koto has got the enormous parts that are covered with slop. You know. But the thing is that the slop around here disappears in the winter. And it shrivels up. It shrivels all the way down to the bottom of what we would call a trunk if it were a tree. And there's a big machlokas about whether something like that technically satisfies the halakhic requirements of being a tree, or is it not a tree, but actually a vegetable. Even though it comes back, there's some who learn that itself, like, I don't see it above ground. So, but nonetheless, when it comes to tzlaf, everybody agrees that we call it a tree. Because the fact is, if you leave it around long enough, the plant grows to the point where it doesn't shrivel. Mm-hmm. So it's a function of how much it's grown. And that everybody is modus of Ori Priyatis.
It breaks bones
and breaks. Yeah, very powerful thing, yeah.
The Gemara calls it a tree, right?
Yeah, we're talking about right now. Yeah, that's right. So the tzlaf, even though by us it looks sort of bushy, if it's allowed to grow, it clearly is a tree. And it says over there, ala alin the ala tmarot. It's talking about the actual leaves of the tzlaf, or the little blossoms that grow between the leaves that stick out. That, you say, are bari pri ha'adama. But on the avionot, which are the actual grown fruits, and the kafrisin, it's a little bit of a problem to identify this thing exactly, because different rishonim have different approaches. Rashi's approach, which is very consistent with the Gemara that's coming up on Amud Beis, is that the kafris is basically a type of klipa, type of skin, hard skin, that's around the aviona, that falls off early, but that is edible in and of itself.
And not the...
not the berry, right?
The green shell.
Yeah.
Are you saying kafrisin that's used on the wine?
That would make more sense, right?
When the lay is the thing.
That's the shiloh, but it's Cypriot wine. Yes, Cypriot. Is it borei priyaitz? Omer of Nakubayitz. So in any event, I mean, you do say a borei priyaitz, even though people's dad. Somebody's going to say that people are no teya for the kafrisim, and still says borei priyaitz. You're claiming that what it is that the original intent, its purpose in planting, is is going to define the bracha. And here it's saying that even though the purpose in planting may be for the perach, that you're still going to make a berberet and a kaprisin. The perach probably means a caper berry.
Because the flower comes and goes.
Exactly. But the berry becomes the flower. So.
The
berry becomes the flower.
Yeah.
What the berry is, the small bud of a flower. If you watch the berry develop, it eventually turns into the flower, which then turns into the aviomad that has the little
fruit
green color. And then the fruit comes out of it. The problem is all these things exist simultaneously. That's why it has different things on it. It's like a fig. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same bush at the same time. It's like a fig. It has many different stages simultaneously. So we view it as having like different fruits and so on. So in any event, clearly that's not the fundamental distinction over here, I would think. I'm not going to answer, well, no, not necessarily. Because the thing is that Slav, not the inchi adaita to shoot. I mean, the point is people's intent when they're planting at Slav, it's really to eat all of the pieces that they can get off of it. Because there's nothing wrong with pulling off leaves of a Slav. It doesn't limit it in any way. It's the lulav where you got a problem with pulling off leaves, because the palm has only that small area of growth, which is that right on the top, where you have the new leaves that are coming out. You pull off one, you're damaging the tree, basically. And there people are much more careful. You can't say, b'shum ponim v'ofen, that the das in planting it is to use it. On the contrary, and I certainly would not want to give up my tree to take off the mulav. When it comes to the tzlaf, it's the body of the tzlaf I'm also perfectly willing to use. Therefore, over there, we view it as a borei priya. No, including that intent. But dikwil inchi adaita de kora at all. So we're expanding now our explanation. Before we thought it was a function of what your fundamental diet is. Why did you plant it? Over here we're talking about what would you include in the usage of the planting. And the truth is that apagav the kalti Shmuel the Reviewer, even though Shmuel himself seemed to feel the Reviewer was more on track, halacha is kavasi de Shmuel. And that we actually would be mevoret, shakol niya bidvaro, and on the kora anyway. There's no real comparison that Shmuel made between that and Tznon and so on. Wait a minute. Speaking of making the bracha, and you're the one who was gearing this bracha, and it was Adaita de Shtia that I assume that you planted this cup here. So we will drink. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shako Miyem Dvaro. Sorry. Yes.
You make the bracha on what you have now, not what you.
Well, no. Shmuel was talking about the question of whether you're going to worry about sofo lahashot. That's how Shmuel was discussing it. Lamaisa, the Gemara says it's not really comparable. He thought that sofo lahashot was a kasha from Tznon. He's saying that's something which Lamaisa is not your intent at all in the plant, and it's not a permanent part of the edible produce of the tree, because it will shortly be hard. You can't view that as being a bari priya adam.
Although he doesn't hold a data, you planted for that.
Nobody does. We're talking about the kura here.
No.
We're talking about the kura. We made a little tangential argument about the tznon, which then led us into questions of the kafrisin and so on. Omer Yudam Rav, now that you've raised the question of tzlaf, tzlaf shel orla b'chutzlaretz, if you've got orla tzlaf in chutzlaretz, and over there it's only an iser d'rabanan, Rashi always learns the sugya of orla, then zorek it aviyonot. Okay, if you know it's orla, so the aviyonot are the real fruit. You're not allowed to eat that. But you can eat the kafrisin, which are the growth around the aviyonot. So are you telling me that the aviyonot are a pre and the kafrisin are not a pre? And obviously that's what you're saying. If you're saying I don't have to worry about orla, I only worry about orla on the tree, and the peros of the tree, obviously, correct? And that's the Torah. The problem is that it says amine nitzvah, ala alim ala tzmarot, omer borei pri adama, ala aviyonot, and here's our problem, ve'al hakafrisin, omer borei pri ha'etz. So now you're telling me, I mean, if I'm saying borei pri ha'etz, it's part of the tree. If it's part of the tree, why am I allowed to eat it if I know it's orla? Hurionak Rebbe Akiva, the Tzan Rebbe Eliezer, Omer, Tzlaf mit aser tzmarot avionot v'kafrisin. Rebbe Akiva Omer, Ein mit aser ela avionot bilvad b'pnei shehu pri. The reason that he was makel on the orla is because he holds like Rebbe Akiva, who holds that you only have to take off meiser from the aviona and not from the kafrisin. So by the same token, you're not chayiv in meiser, you're not chayiv in orla. So b'chori he would say that it's only a shakel. So the name Alokak Rebbe Akiva, the Omar Alokak Rebbe Akiva, if he would have just said Alokak Rebbe Akiva, that would have meant that Rebbe Akiva is asking that he holds it's not an eight, so even in Eretz Yisrael you can eat it, then there's no problem of Orla. Maybe I'll make a brocha of Bari Priya Adoma, but it's certainly not an eight. Come Ashbel, and therefore we need to understand, the Psak over here is only based on the fact that Orla and Chutzlortz is the Rabbanan, and our rule is that kol ha-mekel v'aretz, halakha kemoto v'chutzlortz, that where you have a shita that paskins l'kula in Eretz Yisrael, you can be somech on that shita, even though we don't paskin in Eretz Yisrael, which is a dioraita that way, but in Chutzlortz we will certainly rely on it on the Rabbanan. But not because we hold that the Iker Hadin, even on a Dioraita, would be true of Kalibit Rabbi Akiva, that the Kafrisin are not part of the tree, you know, to say a Bori Priyait. Now, wait a second. I mean, then all you had to say, I mean, even to avoid that, all you had to say was that Nema Halachic Rabbi Akiva Bechutzlar. And Cholamek of Arts Halachic Masa Bechutzlar. Then I would never make the mistake of thinking that Rabbi Akiva is correct even in Eretz Yisrael. I just have to say Halachic is like Rabbi Akiva and Chutzlar. I mean, why did you have to open up the whole thing with the discussion of that Orla and Chutzlar, Tzav, and such? Just say Halacha Rabbi Akiva b'chutzlaretz. No, easy. Because if I would have said Halacha Rabbi Akiva b'chutzlaretz, Hava minahani mili gabi ma'aseri lan. What was Rabbi Akiva talking about? He wasn't talking about Orla at all. He was talking about Maaser. The thing is that Maaser, even in Eretz Yisrael, Maaser of Yonot is not the Oraita. Only the Maaser of the Perot Haaretz are considered to be the Oraita. So if the Iker Din in Eretz Yisrael is Midrabbanan, I understand you want to be Mekel in Maasrot in Aram Tzova and so on, right? Okay. But who's to say Orla, which is the Oraita in Eretz Yisrael, who's to say that you would be Mekel like Rabbi Akiva and Chutzlaretz? Therefore, I want to make it very clear. I'm talking about being Semech on Rabbi Akiva even where the Iker Din in Eretz Yisrael is the Oraita, like Orla, then the Chutzlaretz, I'm going to be Semech on Rabbi Akiva. In Surya there is. We're talking about Surya. I would have thought you're talking about Surya. Yeah. Now, Ravina Ashkeche, the Marbar of Ashi, Ravina found Marbar of Ashi throwing away the Avionot and eating the Kafrisin, apparently because he was afraid of the problem of Orla. Amalei, my daiter, Rabbi Akiva, the maker, what's your problem over here? You're obviously being Semech on Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the Kafrisin are edible. Look, if you're looking for kulas, I could find your kulas galore. I mean, you could follow the sheet of Beit Shammai if you want. You might as well be maker like Beit Shammai, who's even more maker. Because Beit Shammai says in the Mishnah, it's not slap, Beit Shammai amrin kiloyim bekerem. So that means according to Beit Shammai, what we're willing to say is that Slav is not even a tree. Because there's no din of Kaloi Makarim of planting other trees in a vineyard. There's only a din of Kaloi Makarim of planting Yirakot in a Karim. That could be Kaloi, but not other trees. So that means according to Beit Shammai, it's Bechlal not a tree. So why not be Semech on Beit Shammai and say there's no Orla, it's a vegetable. So why you got to worry about Orla and a vegetable? Beit Hillel Omrim in Kaloi in the Karim and Elu ve'elu modim shechayav bo'orla. Wait. You are confusing me. Agufa Kasha. First he said Salaf, according to Beit Shammai, is Kaloi in the Karim. So obviously it's not a tree. Alma, it's a yeah. And then you turn around and you say that Beit Shammai is modet, that well, but you'd have to worry about Orla. I mean, worry about Orla, then he's telling you that it is a tree. Oh, gosh, that's not a problem. Beit Shammai is essentially telling you that he doesn't know. As he's telling you how to suffer. So therefore, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Chumrah when it comes to Kilayim. Maybe it's a Yerek. So don't plant now any Tzlaf in your Karen. Fine. On the other hand, maybe it's a tree. So don't eat Tzlaf that's Orla, okay? But, I mean, still, what does that mean? That according to Beit Shammai, even if it's Varay Orla, it's really only Suffolk Orla. But in Chutz La'aretz, Suffolk Orla, which is Drabonon, is mutter to a great extent because it says, the Pharish in the Mishnah, Suffolk Orla, Eretz Israel is Asur because it's a Suffolk Dioraita, Besuria Mutar, and in Chutz La'aretz, even if it's not even really a Suffolk, I mean, the guy's got a whole orchard of stuff that you know he only planted last year. He's selling the apples right out there in front. Okay, but did I see him pick it? Do I know where he got the apple from? I mean, maybe he got the apple from the supermarket. He's claiming he's, you know, selling homegrown apples. So over there, unless you see him actually picking it himself, you can go and take it. So of course, you're going to be out of subject whether the means of law is considered to be a tree. I mean, there'd be no problem. So don't bother throwing away the avionot. Eat to your heart's content based on Beit Shammai. What do you got to think about Rabbi Akiva and have to throw away the avionot? Tell you why. Because to be Somech on Rabbi Akiva, who argues on Rabbi Eliezer, and it says the Kafrisin are not considered to be a fruit, yes, Avdin and Kevate. But to be Somech on Beit Shammai, Bimakom Beit Hillel, Eino Mishnah. You have to have some basis in Halakha. Since Lamaisa, we have been Docha, the Shita Beit Shammai, from the Halakha, you can't even use it as a tziruf for Suffolk, Legabi the Rabbah.
But if we planted ourselves, that you planted, we did keep.
If you knew.
You planted yourself.
You planted capers?
No.
We're not talking about it. We're talking, of course, if you know that the tree is Orla, you have to keep Orla. Yes, correct. But here you caper, you don't know if it, he's timing. According to Beit Shammai, you don't know if it's a tree. Says Abaye, no, I do know it's a tree, because I have to ignore Beit Shammai. The only thing that I can be cynical on is that I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, that Kaprisin is not considered to be a fruit. Now, wait a minute. Maybe it's not a fruit, but it certainly is a shomer. We've met the concept of shomer when it comes to Dinim of Tumah V'Taira. We know that a shomer of a thing, even though it's not edible itself, and you have a nut that's surrounded by a shell, then that shell, even though by itself is not edible, it's still going to transfer Tumah and be part of the nut, Lagabe making, being Makabal Tumah, or being Motzi Tumah to be Mitzame Acherim. Here is a new concept of shomer, Lagabe Dinim of Peirot as well. And therefore, we're asking why, even though it's not a fruit, why is it not a shomer? Typically, it's not a shomer lepri. You'll say, so what? Ah, because the Torah says, va'araltem arlato et pirio. What does et pirio mean? Not arlat pirio, but et pirio. We know that et always adds a tfelut, a tafel le pirio. So it's as if the preposition adds going through something, which is the meaning of a preposition anyway. So not direct contact with the pri, I have, so to speak, verbally and indirect contact with the pri, which refers in real life to the shomer of the pri. That comes to tell me that if there's something around the pri, which is itself not a pri nonetheless, I have to keep Orla on that thing. So why isn't the Kafrisin a shomer to the pri which asers at mitam Orla? Omar Rav, I'll tell you, technically speaking, you'd be correct, except for the fact that Kafrisin is not a good shomer. Why? Because Eicha Amrina Danasa Shomer Lepri, Eicha Deite Bein Betalush Bein Bemechubar. If you've got a nut that's surrounded by a shell, I mean that shell stays on there until you break it off, but if you have an Aviona, you pick a bushel of Aviona, you won't find any Kafrisin in it, because the Kafrisin fall off before you're able to pick the Aviona anyway. That's not called a Shomer. A Shomer is something that's there all the time. Haka b'mechubari, it's only while it's still on the tree that you've got the Kafrisin. B'talush leta. H.V. Abaya, so Abaya says. What? Yes, we'll get to that. I'm specifically being vague about that part, because we haven't yet zeroed in at what stage it falls off in order to be called a shomer. H.V. Abaya, so Abaya asks, is that so? Does it not say that the pitma shel rimon is mitzarev, whereas hanet shelo eno mitzarev? So you have the pitma of the rimon, which is what's on top of the rimon, whereas the nate, which is the equivalent of the kafrisin that falls off early, is not mitzarev. Here we're talking about tuna, but tuna is the same thing, the gabishek. Now, if you're telling me that the nate is not mitzarev, so what are you telling me in terms of shomer? When it comes to Tumah, that is not an Orla, right? Okay. Problem is that by Orla, it says very clearly that Klipei Rimon Vanet Shalom is considered to be Chayav in Orla. Okay? So that means that the standard for Shomer when it comes to Orla are much lower standards than the standards for Shomer that is for Tumah V'Taira. And therefore, when you're telling me that the Kafrisin falls off before the Aviona gets into the pot, doesn't prove anything to me, because does it not clearly say Klipei Rimon V'Hanet Shalom, Klipei Egozin V'Hagar Inim, Chayavim Bo'Orla? That's a problem. Okay, then let us clarify this better, said Rav. I'll tell you how to say it. Ella Omar Rav, let me restate this. Hez Amrina Denatzi Vosham was wrong. My original Hagdara was insufficiently precise. Because I was saying, if when you pick it, it's no longer there, then it's not a Shomer. I take that back. But Hez Amrina Denatzi Vosham Lepari, Hez Kadeita Bishat Gemar Pira. The point is, Shomer Lepri is something which is there at the time of the Gemar of the Pri. The Kafras does not stay on the Aviona the way the Nate stays on the Rimon. It falls off before the Aviona is fully formed. And therefore, if it's never a Shomer to a fully formed fruit, it cannot be considered to be an extension of the Dinim of Arla either. You need to have a point somewhere, maybe not in the fully grown fruit, but certainly in the level of maturity, which is already called a fruit. If you don't even have that, then you don't have a Shomer. And the Kafras is not a Shomer, therefore. Hi, Kafras, let the Bishat Gemar period. Long before you're ready to pick the Aviona, the Kafras has fallen off. Is that so? Any. Mo'amarim nach, mo'amar Rabba Baravua. Hani metachle di orla asire, hoil v'naase shomer lepri. So actually, if you have on a date, the early stage of growth of a date also has a shell-like piece from which the date grows out of. That falls off very early in the growth of the date. And yet, it says here that the metachli are considered to be shomrim to the pri. Now, I ask you, at what point, please, are they shomer the pri? Hematavri. What stage of growth of the date? When they're still kufra. When the kofer, is talking about before the stage of maturity. They're not yet fully mature dates. They're not ripe. And once they're ripe, there's already no longer the metachli. Nonetheless, you're saying, it's in the Brisha says, that the metachli on the tamar is considered to be a shomer, and you're claiming that the kafras on the tzlaf, on the avionar, is not considered to be a shomer. Do you explain the difference to me? Both of them are immature fruit, and the thing is not there at the point of maturity, and you're saying that for one it's considered to be a shomer, for the other it's not. I don't understand. Ematai nasi shomer lepri. It's bekufra. Bekukarele shomer leperi. You're right, says Rabbi. However, it happens to be that there's two different halakhas over here, because Reb Nachman, remember, was the one who said that metachli d'orla are usher. Reb Nachman is following the shita of Reb Yossi. Now, there happens to be a major machloket between Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan in general regarding what is considered to be a mature fruit. That's a different issue. I'm saying this. If you don't have a shomer on a mature fruit, you don't have a shomer, period. Now, you want to come along and talk to me about what actually constitutes a mature fruit. Fine. We know that for many purposes, we have a machlokas between Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan as to what level of development of fruit is considered already to be maturity. And there, Reb Nachman holds like Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi holds that simadar, now simadar of course refers to grape. Grapes are, every fruit in the Gemara has a different stage, a different name for equivalent stages, any choshev of fruit. So when we talk about kramenu simadar, it's only the keren that's simadar. That's a name specially for the grape. But the thing is that simadar in a grape, okay, is the equivalent over here. Reb Yossi is saying simadar is considered to be asur already as orla. It's a real fruit, even though that's an extremely early stage. The stage of simadar is where the flower has fallen off, and you see that little tiny round ball which is going to become the grape. It's very, very early on. That round ball that's an isolated fruit without anything around it is already called a fruit, and to eat it would be asur mishum orla, according to Reb Yossi. But the Rabbanan are poligale. Now I'm telling you that the reason that metachli are usher, according to Reb Nachman, is because kufra is the equivalent of simadar. And he's going like the sheet of Reb Yossi, which holds that simadar in a grape is a full-fledged fruit, in which case a kufra on a date is a full-fledged fruit. And fine, I mean, maybe according to him, the early aviona is a full-fledged fruit. But I'm not talking about the sheet of Reb Yossi. I'm talking about the sheet of the rabbim. According to the rabbim, by the time the kafras falls off of the aviona, it's still immature. And therefore, it's never became a shomer. You are jumping to the conclusion that when it comes to other types of fruit, which are the equivalent growth stage of simadar, that the Rabbanan would argue on Reb Yossi, and that the question of simadar or more was unique, was rather universal. But that's not true. Bishari lani mi pliga Rabbanan alay. I think that, in fact, the Rabbanan agree when it comes to other things besides grapes, that the stage of simadar, whatever you call it, kufra when it comes to the tamar, or maybe whatever stage you call the avionah, that early stage, they would agree with Reb Yossi. And I'll prove it to you. What's none? What if somebody wants to cut down a tree in order to use it for, let's say, a beam for his house? So normally, in terms of, as Tosfos points out, in terms of Bal Tashrit, we have a shiur of the amount that has to have a kav per year of peirot to be considered to be a fruit tree. But when it comes to shvi'it, we have an additional concern, which is la'ochla. You're mechuyev to eat shvi'is peirot, and you cannot just throw them out. Now, if you're going to cut down the tree that already has fruit on it, that is not yet ready to grow, to eat, you're never going to eat it. So basically you're being mashchit for shvi'it. Okay? So now, determining what the size of the fruits on the tree would answer you from destroying them on shvi'is, because of the lo'ochla, kol tvu'ata lo'ochla, and we darshan lo'ochla, below they have said, not for ruling, for eating, we'd be able to determine, based on that, what the shear is of a fruit. That's chayev and shvi'is is the same thing as the fruit that's chayev and orla. Now it says over there, me'imatai in kotzitzinati lanot ba'shvi'it, Beit Shammai omrim kol ha'ilanot me'ishiyatziu. Every ilan at the point that it has a recognizable fruit. Whereas Beit Shammai says, now wait a minute, let's clarify that. You're talking about carob Misha Yishareshu. Misha Yishareshu, the carob looks like little a chain before it's formed a pod. Okay? That's the stage in which it's called a fruit. Hagefanim, the shear of a gefen, is girua. Girua is the shear after simadar. Hazeitim mishianitsu. Vishar kola ilanot, from the earliest stage, mishiotsiu, when you recognize the fruit. The Omer Ravasi, now Ravasi explained what is the shear that we're referring to in girua. That's what we call boser. We have a shear of samadar, we have a shear of boser. Boser is the equivalent of garua. That's garua's a shear, which is the shear of a white pea. White pea? I thought we're talking about grapes. I mean the size of a white pea, for God's sake. So I'm talking about where a grape reaches the size of a pol halavan. That's already a shear. Now, who's the man, the Omar, that says boser? Boser is the stage after samadar. Who's the man, the Omar, that says boser, not samadar? That's the Rabbana that argue on Rabbi Yossi, right? And what do they say over here is the shear of other trees? Mishiyotzi. I thought you said that the Rabbanan universally argue on Rabbi Yossi, and they hold that you need to have a truly mature fruit. It's obviously not true. You can't cut down a tree in Shvias the moment Mishiyotzi. So I ask you, when it comes to the Aviona, does the Kafras remain on the Aviona, Mishiyotzi? Absolutely. So why is it that a Shomer? Now you really painted yourself at the corner. You told me that as long as any time the Shomer is on the fruit at one point where it's called mature, but you got out of the problem by saying, yeah, but the Rabbanan wouldn't have said an Aviona is mature. But here I'm showing you the Rabbanan agree that Mishiyotziu, which is a very early stage, is already considered to be mature, Lagabi Shvi'id. So why wouldn't it be mature, Lagabi the Din of Shomer? Hello, my Rabbi, says Rabbi, okay, you know what? Chuck the whole thing.
It only starts when fruit is
done. I changed my mind. It has nothing to do with the size of the fruit. It has to do with the functionality of the Shomer. You know, a Shomer is not something that happens to be sitting there waving a flag. A Shomer, in order to define it as a Shomer, has to be essential for the survival of the fruit. Peel off the Kafras and see if the Aviona survives. It does. Peel off the nates and see if the Rimon survives. It doesn't. That's the difference. So in a case where the shomer is absolutely essential. Okay, so there it's functional as a shomer. It's not just there for prettiness. Over there it's called a shomer. But if you'll take off a kafras, the aviona one will not die. And in fact, they actually did an experiment where shakluala makes the rimona. They took off the mates from rimonim, and the rimon inevitably died. They took off the pircha of the petita. The kain petita is a popular name for the aviona. So therefore, it was clear that the petita does not really require the kafras.
It's
law. Okay, now how about pilpuli? We have something very similar when it comes to pepper. Pepper, also, we have something that is going to be completely dry. I skipped this piece because it's an insert from the Bahag. It comes from the Ilchot Gedolot. It's not the part of the Gemara in which he paskins Gemar Baravashi, that you're Zorek the Avionot, you're Ochel the Kafrisin, and therefore he paskins me the Lagabi Orla Lapira. So therefore, Lagabi Brochodami Lapira Dino Veloma Borchen Labor Priyaitz, Elabore Priyadama. And we're going to be stomach on that, says he. Anyway, pilpuli. Now, when it comes to pepper, you're also raising a very similar issue over here, because the pilpul appears to be part of the tree and not really a separate fruit. Pick it off of it, it's a protrusion on the body of the stalk, in which case it raises the same type of image as the kafrisin and the tzlaf questions that we had. And furthermore, it gets hard and inedible. You can't really eat a dried pepper once it really grows, and you have to grind it up and you eat it all day, very much, and it gives a taste. But what's the halacha about a pilpul? So Rav Shesha says, well, it's a shahako. Rava says, well, it's nothing. It's not really, it's flavorings, but it's not edible. Falafel. And Ozer Rava Latayim. But this is Rava Lashitato. Rava says, you can chew pepper, or peppercorn, on Yom Kippur. Not you can, but if you do, you're potter, because it's not food. Or if you have ginger, and you chew ginger on Yom Kippur. Kasang Avilab Yom Kippur. You'd also be potter, because there's no real food stuff here. Now, the problem is, Meitve, Hayara Bimeir Omer, Mi Mashmashe Neemar, Va'araltem Arlatoet Piryo. It says, Va'araltem Arlatoet Piryo, I mean, if it's got a pre, does that mean that it's a fruit tree? I mean, generally, if it's got a pre, it has to be a eight pre, right? So why do I have to say in the Pasuk, Kol Eitz Ma'achal? Any Odeyash Eitz Ma'achal? If it has a pre, it's obviously an Eitz Ma'achal. So why does the Torah say, Aralatem Arlatoet Piryo Eitz Ma'achal? To tell me that even where the tree is edible, Tama eitz kitama pri, to include pepper, so ma tama lomer eitz ma'achal, na havi eitz shetame tzoi priyo shabbat. This teaches me that pilpul is actually chayav baros, certainly seems to be saying. The Torah is giving it a din of a fruit. Rava says you can chew it on Yom Kippur. Boy, oh boy, that's a stretch. So, and by the way, this teaches you, lalamdecha. I mean, if the Torah is telling me that there's a din of orla on pepper, even though pepper doesn't really grow in Israel, so how could there be a din of orla on pepper? Since pepper is Switzerland, by definition. Ah! This teaches us that everything grows in Eretz Yisrael. You just gotta figure out where to grow it and how to grow it, and that's where we have a mochon volkani. There's nothing that you're missing in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, but forgetting about the Hashgrafic implications over here, I mean, who knows if the only place to grow pepper isn't in Kfar Darom.
Not the
fruit, not the vegetable pilpul. The pepper, black pepper. Well, no, there's hot pepper, which is also a vegetable.
Black pepper.
The hard thing that you put into that little grinder, you grind it up.
That goes on a tree.
That's right. That's what we're talking about. Otherwise, why would it have oil if it doesn't run a tree?
No,
it's a vegetable. No connection. It's just called pepper. It's just an extended because it's so sharp they call it pilpul, but it isn't really pilpul.
Pure vegetable.
Yeah. So anyway, says the Gemara Lokasha, it's really not much of a problem. I mean, if you're talking about ritivta, it's still chewable and damp. Then it's fresh. Then of course it's not allowed to be eaten on Yom Kippur, and it's chayav and orla. He's talking about yavishta, where it's totally dried out and it's no longer edible like that. Amila Rabbanu Lamarima. Rabbanu quoted to Marima that kasan gabila b'yom kippur is potter. And he asked, well, how could that be? V'amar Rava, hay himlata de'atya mebe hindoi. These Himalayans that come from Hindus, actually it's referring to himlata. It's interesting, the mebe hindoi. You know, we have everything backwards. We say that Kush, right, is India, and Mibay Hundoi, Rashi says, is Kush. But that's because of Hindu Kush, is the original name for the entire area. The part that the Gemara calls Kush is what we call India. The Hindu is what we call Kush, but it's not referring to the Ethiopian Kush, but rather the Asian Hindu Kush. So this Himlata, I'll shame the Himalayans, was the name of a type of mixture of various exotic flavorings that were put into honey and then were boiled up and dried as a bar. And it says over here you're allowed to eat that himlata, despite the fact that it's cooked. And you might think that it was also because of Yishulei Akum, that nonetheless it's mutter to eat it, and that's because these things can be eaten without cooking, and therefore the cooking doesn't turn it into an Isra Bishul Akum. And the bracha is borei pri ha'adama. So apparently, since the main ingredient in himlata is zangavil, is ginger, apparently it's considered to be food if we're making bari priya adama on it. By the way, the Rabbeinu Yonah asked, well, how about the kashrus? I mean, forget about the bishul akram. I mean, so it says, okay, bishul yisrael on it. The only thing is it's chazer. What do you mean bishul yisrael? Bishul yisrael in pots that were, I mean, who knows what's the kashrus in the pots? You know, I mean, take a look what they do today, because, you know, they have to put the whole thing through steamers and God only knows what before the whole human put an extra on it, and you're allowing these people to... He says, yeah, that big deal.
So they...
He doesn't say that. He says, all right, so they cooked up some chazer in the pot. It's not a ben yomo, is it? So it wouldn't be aser. So you're gonna make a whole big tumult about the extra in a pot, which anyway wouldn't have aser. So Mamela, standards in my ben yomo time, or is it, you know. Remember, according to the Gemara, if a bird drops a piece of meat, and it's a mostly kosher butcher's, you eat the meat, you know, it's also good. So that problem isn't our problem. But meanwhile, you see, you make a bird pri adama. And here do we answer, lo kasha, ha b'retivta, ha b'yavishta. Shall we get through that? Or people getting antsy over here. All right, so we'll continue. Chovitz Kedera. Now, Chovitz Kedera is basically a gelled kind of thing, which there were many different ways you would mix different things in milk, which you would then gel using rennet. And they also would make it by just letting it sit there and gel in a kedera. So that's called Chovitz Kedera. And Rashi says, basically describes what we would call a tegla. You know, where you have the kemah mixed with oil and honey, you know, and it's really, really yummy. You put this in a frying pan. So that's also called Chovitz Kedera. So the Chovitz Kedera, V'chein daisa. Daisa would mean what we call daisa, really crushed up wheat. So Rav Yehuda omer shakol mi avid varo, and Rav Kahana says, no, it's a mizonos. It's a bar minei mizonos. If you're talking about real cereal, daisa grader, everybody agrees it's bar minei mizonos because it's basically green. Ki pligi v'daisa ke'im chavitz kedera. We're talking about where you mix now a lot of honey in it, and you put it into a pot, you boil it up, and that's sort of, it's like what do you call the bars? Granola bars. You know, yeah, there's a lot of grain in it, but it's mostly sugars and honeys and flavorings and so on. You sell it to the kids. So is that considered to be a bari minei mizonos? And that's where they're arguing, or is it a shahakol? So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's a shahakol, because, I mean, the main thing over there is the corn syrup, if you look at the ingredients. And they just make it look healthy, but, you know, basically, you're feeding them pure corn syrup, they should make a shahakol. Whereas Rav Kahana on there, you still say a bari minei mizonot, because the samida, the grain component of it, is the ikar in that mix. Now, maybe tomorrow we'll get a chance to discuss. There's a major machlokas as to what that means. Does it mean wherever there's a samida, that's the ikar, or is the arguing particularly as to the intent over here? Tosfos points out that certainly if the grain content is only to provide body, you can't possibly call that ikar, even though grain is an ikar. You would run into this problem, according to some in licorice, where or in mustard, they used to, now I think the Israeli mustard, actually, they started making mustard, but there used to be the mustard was essentially a flour flavored with mustard. You remember those old days. Yeah. So those kind of things. So that's the question, what exactly machlokas is. Omer of Yosef, Gavosid, Rav Kahana, Mistavra, it's more reasonable to say Barim and Amazonas. The Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Tavayu, Koshi Yeshbo, Michameshet Aminim. I mean, they'd say, wherever you've got some Chameshet Aminim, even though it doesn't look like the main ingredient, maybe it's the third, fourth ingredient down. Nonetheless, the Chashivut of the Chameshet Aminim of Dagan is so Chashuv that it's considered to be more important than anything else, and the Borchim Alav, Borei Minei Mizonah.
Even though the majority
is
honey.
Is honey.
It's never buffalo.
Yes. But again, certainly we just saw it would be buffalo if it's only for body. And we'll see what the machlokas over here is, whether that's the klal that we're arguing about.